What's up, fight fan? You're listening to MMA Daily, the podcast where we bring you the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. It is Tuesday, November 28th, 2023, and this week's episode, PFL crowns champs amid changes. We'll talk about the stacked PFL World Championship event that took place on Friday night. A lot of new champions and a lot to talk about for the future. We'll discuss the latest in MMA news. Dana White announced a couple of changes for the end of this year and early next year in terms of fight cards, so we'll get into that. And we will finish the show by previewing this coming Saturday's UFC main event from Austin, Texas, and the lightweight bout between Beneil Dariush and Armin Sarukian. My name is Gabriel Gonzalez, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Zamudio.
Hello, Double G. Sorry, I coughed through your intro. I apologize, but I have a question.
Go ahead.
Completely unrelated to MMA. I know you're an NBA guy.
Yes.
Every once in a while when I'm at the gym, I see a game on, or sometimes at home if the Lakers are playing. Why are the courts now a horrendous bright color that's trying to burn out my retinas? What's going on there?
I think they are really trying to experiment with something drastically different. I think they're trying to get away from the same courts they've had since the 80s and give you something really visually distinct. And you know, you experiment and you just see, sometimes you got to try something really new and let the people decide. And you know, you already built the courts, but the people decided, yeah, we're not with it. And I think that's all that's happened. They're obviously changing it for the in-season tournament, which I understand. I think the attempt is trying to make something visually distinct so you could get more fans a little invested in the early part of the year, because a lot of people kind of like, well, the fourth quarter is the only one that's important, or the second half of the season is the only part that's important. And, you know, I get it. It's a long season. So they're trying to get interest from the jump. And I think that it's just not landing quite like they were hoping it would. That's a, you know, byproduct of the courts. They want to make something that looks really cool that fans may like, but it's just not.
What do you think about it?
I mean, I appreciate any attempt to make something new. I also feel like it just isn't quite landing the way I think they hoped they would. I personally think there's other things he could have done. Specific tournament jerseys, for example. Maybe tweaking the tournament rules. Make it feel like, you know what? No, this isn't just business as usual. However, each game counts toward the regular season. It's the same rules. So it's like, well, you know, we're not really... Essentially, like, it all leads to the same thing. The best teams will still get to the playoffs. The tournament just does, it gives some of the lower ranked teams a potential opportunity to break through and secure playoff spots early rather than late in the season and you're clawing to get into that eighth seed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I appreciate any attempt to kind of facelift something. That being said, I think the execution just hasn't landed. That's what
All
I think.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Okay. Yeah. Moving on. Thank you.
Of course. You know, the PFL, you know, has made some changes too.
Right.
I don't know if you've heard.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah, it came up once or twice on the timeline.
Oh, yeah.
Look, Friday night, the PFL World Championship event. I want to say there were six, maybe seven fights on the main card for pay-per-view. We'll get into the... I know people had questions, you know, the pacing, some of the other auxiliary things going on. I'm going to have us talk about the meat and potatoes of the fights first, because obviously that's what, you know, a very big part of what it was all about. Just to get into a few of those results, Olivier Aubin-Mercier overcomes, it looked like he kind of maybe hurt the nerve, a la Michael Chandler and Henry Cejudo. Uh-huh. Against Clay Collard, hangs on, uses his grappling to gut it out and get the win over Clay. Two-time champion, talked about potential retirement. We'll get into that. But look, obviously just a gutsy performance to close out the show. Henan Ferreira came back from a strong start from Denis Goltsov, who I believe was once again the points leader in the regular season, first time champion, gets it done. Larissa Pacheco dominates a very tough Marina Mokhnatkina. Marina just wouldn't go away. She'd have little flashes of connecting and submission attempts, but by and large, by the minutes, that was a Larissa Pacheco beatdown, and just gets the job done. Magomedkerimov, really good performance against Sada Boussi, one of the few finishes on there. Two-time champion now, got it done with the guillotine. Only loss is to Ray Cooper. I think, ironically, injuries have taken him out of the tournaments more than an opponent, so great victory for him. Impa Kasanganai finishes the Cinderella story, beats Josh Silveira, completes that journey from Challenger Series to champion, first time for PFL. Kayla Harrison, just workmanlike against Aspen Ladd, back in the win column. Derek Brunson does his thing against Ray Cooper, who missed weight for a middleweight fight. And then Jesus Pinedo on the prelims was your championship for free. He gets the knockout, got revenge on Gabriel Braga, wins the featherweight title, faces off with the great Patricio Pitbull of Bellator afterward, teases that for the future. Natalie, I'm not going to lie that that wasn't a lot of fights, more than we'd usually talk about in one breakdown. But what were your overall thoughts? Obviously, you saw the results. You're familiar with a bunch of names. What did you think?
So the championship fights, except for the heavyweights, right, went the distance, and that's – oh, and Sada Boussi.
Yeah.
Look, when you have – on paper, when you have that many championship fights on a card, you're thinking this is going to be amazing, this is awesome. Like, we get so excited when UFC gives us two, and then every once in a while we get three. And if all three of those fights aren't bangers, we kind of – the next day are like, it didn't live up to the hype. I'll say with PFL, there's not as much promise of hype because this seems to be the trend. The fights tend to go the distance. And what's exciting about a fight going the distance when you don't necessarily want it to, or when it's not the most thrilling fight, which some of these were and fall in that category, is that at the end, the winner is going to get $1 million. And so you know that the motivation for both fighters to win, to get a knockout, to get a finish, is way higher. The pressure is way bigger because it's not just for a W in your win column. It's for like $1 million.
Life-changing money.
Exactly, life-changing money. So there's a lot of pressure. So that adds to the energy behind the fights, even when they're a little bit lackluster. So those were fine. It's always great to see the end of a PFL season, to see the champions get their money, their big giant check. Everybody wants a big giant check, you know. Publishers Clearing House back in the day. I don't know, you might be too young for that, but Ed McMahon and all that stuff.
Seen the giant checks.
You've seen the giant checks, okay.
Of course.
YouTube Publishers Clearing House.
Got you.
Okay. In any case, all that being said, my two favorite fights were actually non-title fights. So Kayla Harrison, Aspen Ladd, Derek Brunson, Ray Cooper III. I was really blown away by Derek Brunson. I think for me, he stole the show. He was the most impressive, the most dominant. However, I was still, because I always have something to pick, a bone to pick. I wish he had been able to finish Ray Cooper because he pretty much owned him the whole fight. But of course, Ray Cooper is very, very difficult to finish. And still, Derek Brunson looked great to me. The size difference was vast. So with Ray Cooper III deciding to move up and then still missing weight, I think one of the commentators said it also. It's like, you know, this probably tells us he wasn't really preparing his body for the fight, right? Maybe he was just trying to make weight, but not necessarily trying to be in shape. He didn't look his best. That doesn't take away from how awesome, to me, Derek Brunson looked. You know, I did wonder, though, is this a situation of there's levels to this game and Derek Brunson coming from the UFC is proving that he was in the better promotion, he's the better fighter? Or is it just that there's weight classes for a reason and Ray Cooper didn't prepare his body properly for fighting someone of Derek Brunson's size? It's probably a little bit of both. My next favorite fight was Kayla Harrison Aspen Ladd, just because I wanted to see how Kayla looked. Not necessarily her best performance. She said so as much. Ring rust is real. But I did like seeing her in the cage. She called out Chris Cyborg. And I also was surprised. Aspen Ladd looked pretty, she had some pretty good punches in the beginning there. She was doing all right. She almost got Kayla down. You know, she made a good showing for herself. So those are my two favorites. Can I tell you what I didn't like, since I'm
Production-wise or the fights?
production-wise.
Let's hold it for a few minutes. I want to dig into a few more fights and give them their due.
All right.
I gotta say, watching it back, it may not be the best fight. I actually, at live, edge of my seat with Olivier. I mean, it really felt like, oh man, like the dominoes are just falling for Clay Collard middle of the fight. You know what I mean? I gotta say, so the fact that he was able to, just pulled this one out of the hat. Full props to him. That's what champions do. I love that for Olivier. I think most emotional, ironically, and even though Impa's story, Hennin, just kind of finally getting that and you see what it means to him. I really love that for Hennin Ferreira winning the Battle of the Giants. And Impa, too. I think Impa, he was just riding this wave. I mean, you see him tweeting every time a UFC middleweight would fall out, like, hey, I'm here, I could fight, let me step up. And he'd just get ignored. Does Eagle FC? Eagle FC disappears. And then after all this, he's not even brought into the season. He has to do Challenger Series. I see Saturday morning, like this clip comes in of Dana White saying, Impa one day is gonna be a champion somewhere. And it's like, bruh, how can you not love it? I'm with you there with Kayla. Good to see her back. Resilient, but I think the short notice thing really hurt Aspen more than anything.
It
Kayla
did.
is a tough, that's a tough fighter, very physically imposing athlete for the weight class on short notice, on a regular day, but short notice in particular. So yeah, just shaking it off was Kayla. And then Ray Cooper, I sort of feel like, did they just throw him on and it's a contract thing? Like, you either collect on the appeal of Ray Cooper or you just let him, you can disappear to the ether of free agency. I don't know, but the weight miss, considering it was at 85, not 170, I was a little, I'm just a little shocked. And I know he was injured last year. Is he still dealing with something that he just doesn't talk about publicly? I'll give him that little benefit of the doubt, but when you missed weight like that after the layoff and everything, it just doesn't look good, right? So, but yeah, full credit to Brunson. I'm low key, and this is, starting to lean into the future, but he calls out Johnny Eblen, who's the Bellator middleweight champion. They have their whole little thing apparently that wasn't caught on camera. But we know that Derek has committed to 205 next year, or maybe he said that's the plan, maybe it could change, but I'm like, so are we doing 85 or 205? Because I think I've heard Johnny say, like, I'm an 85er, I'm not a 205er, and I know that, which is fair, and that's fine. But it's like, so what are we. And maybe Derek is like, well, maybe I could get one in before the season starts. I don't know. So I guess we'll find out, is my point. But Pinedo also had a great win. Talked to him. I know it meant a lot to him, so that was really awesome. So it was. I'll say this, so, and I know we're about to talk about it. I feel like going in, there's something you have to remember. It was $50, right? For like six, seven fights, which is more than you get at UFC. So I will acknowledge right now, for your money's worth, you by the minute technically did get a lot of MMA. You paid to sit and watch a night of MMA, and you got more MMA for less money than you do at UFC. I'm gonna just say that right now. That being said, the brand name, maybe the excitement and the star power that, let's be real, star power, yes for UFC. Excitement, sometimes yes, sometimes no with UFC, right? We've been over this, you said it. So, I wanna acknowledge you had to go into Friday night knowing we're here for a long night. And I think that was, let's be real. They had like three prelims, the rest were all title fights. You had to go in knowing this is the kind of night we're gonna have. I think if you go in hoping, well, we're gonna have all first round finishes and 5 round fights, that's not realistic. And you're saying we're gonna go in and have a lot of finishes when you have two technical guys with life-changing money on the line. That's not realistic. That being said, sitting down for it, I'll be honest, so I live in one of those areas affected by shoddy cable and internet. Literally, Derek Brunson is making his walk out, and my internet goes dead, and we receive a message that says it's going to be out for the next 2.5 hours.
Oh
A household Wi-Fi. So, to tell you a story, I'm taking my laptop in, the starting to get cold Southern California. And I'm sitting in a little Starbucks watching my PFL pay-per-view.
no. That's
Kind of cut
dedication.
down, on Black Friday, mind you. So it's like, my leftovers and all that are at home. And,
Yeah.
we're on our third 5-rounder going the distance. And
Oh,
so
man.
I gotta say, maybe I'm the wrong person to ask about the pacing. But I can imagine even if you were at home, it's like, what, this is a long time to ask of your attention span, particularly in the age of the smartphone.
It
So
is.
I get that. A couple of other things, or well, actually, I'll toss it to you because I got a few other points. But what are some of the other things you want to point out?
Yeah, it is a long night. It really is. And you want to keep the energy, your internal energy, your excitement going, because it's another championship fight, another championship fight, another $1 million. But it does get on long in the tooth, and then it's like, I don't need to see another video about this sad story and how they're who they're fighting for. Like, I feel like when you have this many fights, you should just go. And
Low
the
key,
cop.
I also feel like if you tuned in to buy the PFL pay-per-view, you kind of went in knowing who those people were anyway.
Exactly. That's what I was just going to say. It's like, if you're here on your sofa and this is what you're choosing to do, or on a stool at Starbucks, you already know these people's stories. You've watched the content, the pre-fight content, and you don't need to see it again. Like, so many times I get so annoyed when, and again, of course, we're the outliers here, right? Most people generally tuning into combat sports aren't watching all the content we are, but don't you always get annoyed when they're showing you a video before a fight that you've already seen? And you're like, I already know this story. I don't need to see this again. So it is frustrating. But okay, they can't program to us. They have to program to a broader audience. Then give us the short video, or have an announcer, have your color guy or your play-by-play guy give us a little bit of information right before the fight starts, during the walkout. Like, streamline, baby. Economy, especially on this big night where you're bringing these, adding this brand. And I think in general, I had this notion that it was going to be this star combat sports star studded event, and it was going to be and look and feel different. It didn't quite get there for me. They did the thing with the Zoom interviews with Jake Paul and Wiz Khalifa. It's a little awkward, right? When you cut to someone's home and they're just trying to watch a fight. Now, it didn't work for me. I think Jake Paul did his best. He knows the game a little bit better, and this is his world that he's trying to really make an impact on. He did a little bit better. Wiz Khalifa was kind of just like talking to, I don't know. It didn't quite work for me. What did you think about the Zoom calls?
So, I'll be honest, in the moment, the biggest thing I was like, I think it's counterproductive
Yeah.
because I think, okay, if this is such a big night and you just did the sale and you're about to become the co-leader and it's not important enough for people to show up in person, they had to stay at the house. Now, like, Jake Paul, I was critical of this in the moment. I did forget because we didn't talk about it. He does have a fight coming up in like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks. All right, I was a little too harsh on you, Jake. You probably shouldn't be flying from, I forget which
Puerto
island.
Rico?
Is it Puerto Rico?
Yeah,
All
Puerto Rico.
right, yeah, with Amanda Serrano. Yeah. Like, you maybe shouldn't be flying from Puerto Rico for one night and messing with the flow of things. But still, I couldn't help but feel a little bit like if it's that big of a night and you still can't be bothered to show up. Now, Jake Paul, I get it. You know, he shouldn't have shown up. I'll say that in hindsight. But anybody else, it's like, oh, it just doesn't feel as good. Or even like with Ryan Bader, for example, on the call during the heavyweights. Just have him send in like a video message or something, run it after and be like, you know, like, hey, I just want to tell you congratulations. I'm coming. I'll see you in 24. Boom. We don't need more. Let's not, you know, dawdle on the fact that he was too busy to show up for his next opponent. Let's just move on. But when the Jake Paul thing, it just kind of felt like it dragged on a bit. Wiz was doing his best. And once again, though, it's like, what was he doing that was more important if this is your biggest night? I was shocked that we did not see Francis or Deontay Wilder.
Yeah, I
That
mean,
was another
especially
one.
Francis Ngannou, you really? Y'all couldn't get him out
You're
there?
not ready for a fight anymore. Like, what's going on? You know?
And Cyborg, I know she's putting it out there on the internet, but like, why on earth did they not bring her in?
I also found it odd. She had time to do this production, but I don't know if she's in Brazil. I felt like I saw that on her social media earlier that day. But by the way, Deontay Wilder, same as Jake Paul, he's fighting in about a month in Dubai,
He
so I
gets a
get it.
pass, yeah.
Yes, but Francis, I was really shocked. I really thought front and center for sure. Cyborg, okay, so so it was a little counterproductive. I get it though. You're trying something. It didn't land. It didn't hit. Okay, it is what it is. I hope that's less of a thing for next time. The Cyborg thing is another point I want to talk about because I'm hearing her say on Twitter, no one from, as of Saturday morning, nobody from PFL has talked to me yet. And in my mind, I'm like, Chris, unless you know something we don't, you're kind of acting like you are not part of the PFL yet. And that's a little concerning. Because it's like, what funny business do we have going on? And, you know, she did. I saw the video. She's watching Larissa and Kayla call her out and all this. But it's like, I just felt like the phrasing of that implied way more friction than I think is a good thing in this situation. And now, look, mind you, maybe there's a miscommunication between the two. I did hear Mike Coogan, who's essentially like one of the powers behind the throne at Bellator, say, I was invited to PFL. We have not actually discussed anything about a new job yet, and we're not going to for a couple of days until my meeting later this week. So I understand a lot of moving parts. You're not necessarily ready to have everybody with their plans yet. That being said, I don't like this idea of potentially fighters and others being in the dark that, wait, you know, like, are you implying that you're not a PFL person? Because that goes against everything we went over on Monday. So that's one of those food for thought. It could be a miscommunication, and they're going to be like, Cyborg, we have your contract. You signed an extension earlier this year. We have you for X amount of fights, and this is our plan. Maybe that just hasn't happened yet. I don't know. I'll leave it at that. I do know Cyborg is boxing in January. That does raise a bit of concern for me in terms of if the plan was to have her fight Larissa in April, which, by the way, I'll get into the whole Larissa versus Kayla for Cyborg first in a second. That implies to me, wait, so let's say I'm not a fan of running them back to back to back, even though I'm pretty sure Cyborg is heavily favored to do her thing in January. That's a quick turnaround. Now we're dealing with this. Now we're talking about, okay, so are you going to fight Larissa PFL pay-per-view? Do you have to bounce it to another event? Do you have to bounce it toward late 24? What are we doing here? So that also, those questions will be answered another day, but in the moment I'm like, well, that sounds a little messy. So, what did you think of Don Davis saying Larissa's champion, so Larissa gets Cyborg over Kayla first? Because I think a lot of people would tell you we've been building up to Kayla Cyborg for years. They're finally in the same house, and it's not the fight they're doing first.
I'm sur I'm disappointed. Okay, disappointed. But their thing is always not, as compared to the UFC, they're supposedly more about meritocracy. And so if you're looking at the two-time tournament champion, yeah, she should face Cyborg, right? Coming in. It's, not her fault that Kayla lost. You know what I mean? Like, it's just MMA math, like fair MMA math is having Larissa Pacheco fight Cyborg. But Cyborg's not getting any younger, and we need to have this fight first. I think, it should be Kayla and Cyborg because we're talking about, I mean, they themselves have like, what do they call it? I can't remember, but it's like it's a legends fight, right? Not to
Yeah.
say Kayla is already there, but because of her size and what she has already accomplished, like she's kind of been fast-tracked coming off of, with her pedigree from the Olympics and stuff. Cyborg's not getting younger. Like, it should absolutely be Kayla Harrison and Cyborg. That's the big money fight. Put Larissa Pacheco on the card to fight somebody else. Then Cyborg or whoever wins can fight Pacheco. Like, it's stupid, but okay. What do you think?
I mean, like, I think we're just referring to meritocracy, right? Kayla is also a two-time champion. One person gets shafted because I will say Cyborg is the legend. Cyborg is the one who carries the clout. And beating Cyborg will give an immense amount of clout and prestige to either Larissa or Kayla. One of them potentially being the second person to beat Cyborg is nowhere near as nice as being the first. And I do know Amanda got it done. You know what I'm talking about, people. So, assuming either Larissa or Kayla would beat Cyborg, I have very little interest in seeing the second one now compared to when I did before. It's still an objectively good fight, but now it's like, well, watching people fight for second is nowhere near as nice as watching people fight for first. It's just a fact. And I don't like the situation in that way. Now, once again, even if you go Kayla first, which I would have liked because we've been hyping it up, is this not what we built up to? Is this not what we wanted? Someone's always the short end of the stick. Larissa looked amazing on Friday night. Someone loses the short end of the stick. So that's just how I feel. I of course Cyborg could beat the first one and then the stakes are even higher for the second one, but once again it's like I acknowledge, particularly with Larissa, the way she looked, I think that age and experience, she's kind of hitting her stride at the perfect time for a fight like Cyborg. I would argue that Kayla with the layoff, maybe a little bit less so, but still obviously has the age and the grappling factor for a fight like this. So it all comes together, interestingly still. Once again, only one of them could get the first crack at it, and that potentially devalues the second one, unless Cyborg beats Larissa first. So I don't know. I just, I gotta say, it just feels slightly disappointing. But I will also acknowledge we did this whole song and dance with Kayla, free agency. You and I both know
The
it sound
roses,
well, no, it sounded like earlier this year Kayla was on her way out of PFL. That has changed a lot, hasn't it? So I also get, could there be a little bit of a, hey, you said no hard feelings. Well, guess what, Kayla? No hard feelings. I don't know. But even I have to acknowledge there's a lot of elements to this. I think a lot of people would, even if that may not be on paper what they're really doing behind the scenes, I think that they just kind of pitched it as, look, it's champions versus champions. Larissa was the one who competed. Larissa gets it. Okay. And here we are. Exactly. I hope sooner, not later, we'll get more news about the Cyborg stuff. Some of the other ones, Patricio Pitbull, if I'm not mistaken, he was talking about had a spinal surgery
Oh,
or some
jeez.
kind of procedure following that short notice Ryzen thing earlier this year, if you remember. He was supposed to be very hurt. I gotta say, I'm not expecting him to be in a wheelchair until he's better, But I did see that face off with Pinedo and think, aren't you still potentially like another 9 months away from even talking about this? Maybe more? I was like, was it an intense face off? Loved it, yes. How soon can Pitbull do that healthily, safely? I think it's still a little up in the air, but I appreciated him being there. Jason Jackson, Magomed Kerimov. I like that one because Magomed has essentially run the table. He's got a win over Ray Cooper already. He's beaten Sadubu twice, if I'm not mistaken. This is just. He's essentially run it at PFL that he has, I think, among very few, maybe Olivier is better. He has the most to gain from the Bellator merger because now you could potentially add Jason Jackson and Yaroslav Amosov, those guys, to your resume. You know what I mean? I heard Michael Venom Page, UFC isn't a done deal yet. All of this is great for a guy like Magomed Kerimov, who's got a great record already and has run it at PFL, so I like that. Olivier, I think what's funny is that we don't know what's going on with the Grand Prix. Do you consider the champion Usman? With the suspension, would you consider it more a Brent or a Shabley? I'm not really sure. I don't think they know. I think they're still trying to figure out what they would honestly want to do. I will say, if the first event is in April, that is 10 months from October. Usman Nurmagomedov's suspension would be up. I don't know, Natalie. I just don't know. So, my whole thing about this is, for Olivier, I heard him saying he's gonna retire. He said it felt like the end. I feel like the appeal of being the guy to take the O away from Usman Nurmagomedov might be appealing enough to do one pay-per-view. After that, I'm sure he'd feel like, well, I don't know, I don't know if I'm in it to win it as much to fight a Shabley or a Brent Primus. And that would suck, but I also get it. He's had a long career. He was already thinking about it. Maybe it feels like a victory lap kind of thing to fight Usman, and you're playing with house money after two titles. I don't know, but I think that's just where we stand with that. What are your thoughts? Because then I'll ask you about the heavyweights.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting. So I feel like the excitement that I had last week when this was announced, leading up to this event, was bigger, has sort of come down a little bit, and I guess that's normal. But I don't know. I just having the production on Saturday where you could see Jason Jackson watching the fight. It didn't help build up enthusiasm for me. I thought it was actually a little strange, a little distracting. And so I'm nitpicking here, but it's kind of like they, I don't know how to say this. They didn't make a big enough deal about who the Bellator people are. Like you have to be very much in the know to be excited or interested in these particular people fighting the PFL champions or the folks that are about to be crowned champion. And I get it, it's all just part of building it up. But I don't know, man. It didn't quite come together the way I expected it to. Patricio Pitbull, I mean, he's exciting no matter what, no matter what promotion he's in. I feel like his status has been his legendary status is established. But still, man, there was just something that didn't explode for me the way I wanted it to. And maybe it's because Jason Jackson is not a superstar yet. And, I can't put my finger on it. And then Ryan Bader obviously wasn't there. Why wasn't he there? This is going back to what we were talking about earlier. So I appreciate that they're looking forward and trying to get us excited about future fights with Bellator fighters, but something's not jiving yet. I think it's so fresh. They haven't quite figured out what they're gonna, how they're gonna get us riled up about it. And so that's where I am. Like interested, but not like super excited yet.
So I'll give a benefit of the doubt. They've been planning this show for weeks and months, right?
Yeah.
Since the playoffs were set. I have to imagine. So they said that the PFL Bellator thing wasn't, final pen to paper until Saturday. That's 6 days. That's a lot of changes to include now new packages for the Bellator champions, who you don't know until like 2 days out will or won't be available on Black Friday, right?
Yeah,
That's what
yeah.
I understand. So, I would imagine that's I'm with you. I completely get what you're saying with the those videos, right? With the packages to really get the what's it called? The interest in why these fights are big against the Bellator guys. That being said, I think there was logistically not enough time to really incorporate that into the flow of show, which already struggled a bit with pacing. We talked
Well, that's the
about
thing.
this.
Yeah, I was already complaining about them showing us these videos of the fighters from PFL. So I'm not necessarily like it's like I'm not asking like give us another video about this Bellator champion, but just showing the little inbox, what do you call it? Inset box with the fighter just staring at the cage. That's just kind of weird. And so it didn't.
Like it didn't hit. I'm with you there. I know they were trying to enhance it, but I feel like that would have been better maybe on live TV. On pay-per-view, it just makes me feel like, well, why couldn't you be there?
Right.
So I get that. I think that with this with the Bellator stuff, I think that it was a lot of moving parts. I think that it comes back to like one of those things with because there's a little bit of uncertainty on the schedule, that's where we have a lot of those questions. So for the lightweights and everything going on there, I couldn't help but say this. We talked about Liam McCourt, right? And she's asking Ariel to ask him, do I still get my title shot? I think it's very clear Liam McCourt is not fighting Cyborg next.
Right.
Don Davis is very polite on Monday. I think he knew on Monday, no, Liam McCourt is not fighting Chris Cyborg next. We just spent a lot of capital to make this happen. So I'm a little like, okay, I think a lot of that now is a part of what's being impacted. So I get what you're saying. I think that the biggest thing I took away from this is that like, okay, there wasn't enough time. I think going into the next one, now we really got to pitch it. Now I don't know that you need to reintroduce them, but like you said, why are these fights huge? Why are they big? And I think that's the thing. That's the biggest way to do it. I don't know that if you watch PFL that you don't already watch Bellator, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
So I feel like you don't need to do as much of a who is Jason Jackson? Who is, XYZ? I don't know that that's as necessary, but I agree with you. Now I need a real in-depth, let's build this up and hype it up as much as possible. Which kind of leads to my last point on this. The whole Ferreira Goltsoff thing. Ferreira wins. He wants Ngannou, but it seems like Ryan Bader's the guy. I think if there's one faux pas that we've really had with the pitch, it's that Don Davis took away, he took Francis Ngannou off the table. And I think that lowered the stakes immensely for what ended up being the co-main event on the night. Because I think if you knew that Ngannou could be on the table for Ferreira or Goltsoff, that immediately raises the intrigue of that fight tenfold. I think by taking it off the table and saying you're focusing on Deontay Wilder, that really hurt the appeal of that fight. What about you?
It did. I mean that the biggest draw of PFL. Like the biggest is Francis Ngannou. Coming off of this fight with Tyson Fury, you got to capitalize on that. Don't let us forget that he's part of your organization. Put him out there right away. It's not going to devalue him to have him fight the PFL tournament champion winner. Like what like you're holding out for this pie in the sky Deontay Wilder thing. Like what I don't look, Francis Ngannou has done an amazing thing by separating himself from UFC, making this deal with PFL, and fighting Tyson Fury the way he did, knocking him down. But, when you're back in the world of PFL, what I don't want is for him to be used for gimmick fights only. Like, he's still an MMA fighter. Let him fight the top people in your promotion, not, Deontay Wilder after 6 months kicking pads. So, like, I'm okay with Francis Ngannou just fighting the tournament champion or fighting Ryan Bader. Like, that makes more sense. And so my MMA math on this one is like, yes, you have your tournament champion, but Ryan Bader's a bigger name. So let's who's the next biggest name above Ryan Bader? Francis Ngannou. Let's make that fight. But this tells me that this Deontay Wilder thing is closer to becoming something, or else they would have had him there and they would have, put him up to fight Ryan Bader or I can't remember this guy's name, that one.
Ferreira?
Yes, thank
Yeah.
you.
I think it's just got too many. It's got strong legs under it, put it that way.
Yeah.
With Deontay. I don't know. I mean, I told you, if you asked me what's appealing to me, Wilder and Ngannou potentially throwing hands or Ferreira. Sorry, Ferreira. I gotta say that Deontay Wilder thing is pretty intriguing to me. It's just now, I don't know that they stuck the landing as well as they could have. I think they tried to do a lot with a lot of the pieces we had. And that would be my final thing. I think objectively as MMA, it was long, but you had to know that going in. You're watching a pay-per-view has five title fights on it and two showcase fights. That's just how it is. You knew going in it could be a long night. Now, mind you, once again, does that make it any less, harder to pay attention when you're four fights in and you got another 2 hours to go? I get it. I really do. But I think that that's one of those things. I think that, the Bellator thing, some champions are there, some not. I think that's just a product of the situations with the Grand Prix, with Usman, with the timing. Okay. And then, yeah, I think the biggest thing was the Zoom commentary just
Yep.
didn't hit. And, but overall, like, I think this season overall was great. I think you had two Cinderella stories. I think that things came together really well for the defending champs. I think for the finalists as well that we saw. I mean, Clay Collard making it to the final, Magomed and Sadabu after the run they've been on, I thought was great. Marina, first time finalist, Goltsov there too. I loved it. I thought it was great. So I know not everyone is, ingesting PFL like they do UFC, for example,
Right.
week to week.
It takes time.
If you were there for PFL, though, you understand, they had a pretty great grouping for the finals. And you saw some high level MMA, so I can't complain about that one in that way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't. And like, if I'm going to give it a grade, for all the nitpicking, and I still have a few more to ask to talk about, I'll say it's a B plus. Like, this was a great, this was a good card. There was a lot going on. It was dense. Of course, any product can have, you can make improvements on any product, so on any presentation. So, overall, just fine. Two questions for you.
Sure.
Was Dan Hardy always, when did he start doing the in-cage interviews? Because I really love Sean O'Connell. It's his
I
name.
feel like he's a little newer to it. I think he does it in Europe, but I think
Okay.
they just made the call. You have both Dan and Sean, and they just decided to go with Dan for the interviews, and Sean stays at the booth.
Yeah, I was a little
I
bummed by
also
that.
like Sean O'Connell's
Me too, man.
interviews.
And I'm glad Kayla mentioned it. I don't know if anybody else did, but they always have this amazing rapport in the cage.
Yes.
She's busting his chops, like he's charming. And not to say Dan Hardy doesn't have his own attributes, but Dan Hardy is more like business. Sean
Yeah.
O'Connell can bring both charm. He's more like an old-fashioned TV guy personality on the mic. So I miss him. I missed him. I also missed Lillian Garcia. What happened to her?
Oh yeah, huh? I mean, Thanksgiving,
She was
who
busy.
knows? Yeah,
I
how
really
would
was.
that?
I missed her and the guy that they picked. I don't know his name, of
He
course.
sounded so much like Bruce Buffer, didn't he?
You know what? I didn't think that, honestly. I thought to me he sounded like, and I don't know this, I don't remember his name, the guy from One Championship.
Oh, yeah.
Was just like overflowing with enthusiasm. And this guy was kind of like that, a little screamy. Not my favorite, but also it's like I wouldn't have noticed. Like I wouldn't have cared if he was always the guy, but I really love Lillian Garcia. So
Fair
that's all.
enough. Fair
Yeah.
enough. Yeah,
I'm done.
this now last page on this. There will be a Challenger Series next year. There is PFL International, which means the PFL Europe, which will later expand to PFL Africa the year after. So those two things are next year. Then we have Bellator events next year. Then we have the regular season next year. Then we have the pay-per-views next year. And then with all that, there is also the there's Bellator individual, and then there's Bellator PFL is its own thing. I think the biggest thing you got to remember, it's about logistics. Who is available to fight on the first one? Who do we have to bounce to the next one? Let's say hypothetically they'd go in a different direction. They make Kayla and Larissa fight each other again, and the winner fights Cyborg. Then I could honestly see a situation where calendar-wise, they do Cyborg versus Liam McCourt. And I'm not gonna lie, I just said that and I realized they're not gonna let Cyborg potentially lose before
No.
Larissa and Kayla. But
No.
my point is that that's where you could see the schedule being broken down. Other high level big name Bellator fighters, they're most likely gonna anchor and main event so you could sell out arenas in Europe and Latin America if that's their plan. Then, it's about the auxiliary fighters. We have a lot of featherweights and women's flyweights and men's bantamweights. They are not going to be at PFL. They're most likely going to be doing their thing on the Bellator scene and anchoring a lot of these international events. So I think it's about, okay, who's available? Are you a PFL person who could fight in their weight class? Yes? All right, then let's talk about it. Do you like the season? Would you prefer the one-off fights? I think vets versus contenders are all gonna weigh those options out. Once again, logistically, who is available when and where? I think that's gonna determine how all the talent gets spread out. And that's a lot of pieces. You know what you're doing with the big ones. I think it's all the little ones is where they're gonna need a little bit more time to figure it all out, but I think that's just what we're gonna get. I expect to see some of the, like a Liz Carmouche headlining a Bellator event next year.
Yeah.
I expect to see Patchy Mix potentially, and then he does a pay-per-view. That's what I think we're gonna get next year, but logistically, just gotta remember it's about who and where. Because it's also not just one guy or girl, it's about their opponent too. That all has to be figured out. That we don't have answers to and won't for a minute. So there we go.
All right.
Yeah. Dana White did break some news. Let's just go ahead and start logistically. This Saturday, Jalen Turner steps in for Dan Hooker, who broke his arm. The same arm I think he broke fighting Jalen Turner, if I'm not mistaken.
Jeez.
Ironic, right?
Yeah.
The five rounder with Bobby Green is now a three rounder, but I do believe it's still at lightweight. So Jalen Turner making a big cut on short notice. Stylistically, should be a fun fight. What are your thoughts on that, real quick?
Yeah, fun fight. It was gonna be a fun fight with Dan Hooker. Maybe there's a little more pizzazz now with Jalen Turner and Bobby Green, but all in all, solid fight. I mean, good on Jalen Turner for stepping in on super short notice and at that an original weight class. So, I always think when these guys step in, it's a risk. It's tough on their bodies, but they're also getting, earning points with Uncle Dana. So there's an upside to it. Plus, you might actually win. So, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Next Saturday, Anthony Smith, former title challenger, steps in to fight Khalil Roundtree. He replaces Azamat. Oh my God, I always mess it up. Mirzakhanov. Did I say it correctly?
I think so.
Oh my God, I always feel bad. Yes, Mirzakhanov. Yeah, Azamat. It's he replaces him. It's like I was thinking of all the names and it just came. I just lost it. But yeah, Anthony Smith steps in for Mirzakhanov. He fights Khalil Roundtree. Risky fight because you feel like Smith is one of those guys. He could have kind of wedged himself into the conversation at 205. Stepping in, I think that this is one of those moves. He's trying to just get himself in that conversation. He doesn't want to get lost with like the Johnny Walker, Magomed, Jamal Hill. Like he wants to be that guy at the front of the line. So I think that's why he's choosing to take a risk and get in there against Khalil. But fun fight. Both of them throw down. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, fun fight. I agree with you. Anthony Smith is kind of the, I know a guy
Oh, yeah.
now. And, like Cerrone's out, and he was kind of that guy anyway before Cerrone left. And so, not surprised. This is a good fight. It doesn't really do anything for Smith if he wins, unless it's like some spectacular knockout first round thing or it's a war. It's more likely to be a war. And, it could help him keep going back up the ladder if that's those are his intentions, but it's kind of like a lateral move. But I think he just wants to stay busy. He actually likes to fight, and he's kind of, just that guy that's like, yeah, let's go.
I have to double check. I don't know that Khalil and Mirzakhanov were the co-main event, but they are now with Anthony and Khalil, so
Yeah,
I
okay.
think that's huge. That's next Saturday, so we'll be getting results on that very soon as well. And then final bit of, oh well, then also Joe Pyfer taking on Jack Hermanson, fight night main event. I gotta say, Joe Pyfer, it's like I'm gonna say this the most respectful way possible. Teacher's pet ever since last year's Contender Series. Dana White essentially goes out there week one and says, all of y'all aren't getting contracts except Pfeiffer. Let's go. And it's like, and then it's a whole thing. You want a contract, you be Joe Pfeiffer. I think Joe has had two or three fights already in a main event slot. And it's like, what? Don't get me wrong. Exciting guy. Obviously did his thing not too long ago. Good stuff. Jack Hermanson's a vet, good fight. Probably the same thing you're gonna say about it. It's another good fight.
It's another good fight. I have nothing else to add to it.
But yeah, obviously on the fast track is Mr. Pfeiffer. And then finally, the last bit of news, Dana White announces Ilia Topuria against Volkanovski is not taking place in Los Angeles. It is going to take place in Anaheim, which for people who don't know, that's about with no traffic, about an close to 2 hours driving with traffic during rush hour. That could be up to another 3 hours of driving if you're trying to get between the two. So here's what I would say, Natalie, as someone who knows they will be there no matter what, I went from having about one night at the hotel to essentially four. I'm not gonna lie, my wallet didn't like hearing that. But I will say this, I love the Honda Center events. I covered plenty of I was there for plenty of them as a fan myself, so I always appreciate being there now as a reporter. It's a lot easier to get around than LA, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's
That
true.
being said, it's like it's certainly a little bit of a it's not just a day trip like LA would have been. That being said, all right, I think it's good. I think logistically it's a lot easier than trying to manage everything around Los Angeles. What are your thoughts?
Look, I love Anaheim because that's where Disneyland is. But, the Angels of Anaheim, or what do they call themselves now? The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which is not a thing. You cannot be in Los Angeles and in Anaheim. Just gonna say that. Yeah, so I love Anaheim, but it's far, even for me, who's already in LA County. I'm disappointed that it's not here. Would it have been crypto? I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
Probably,
for sure.
for sure.
I
I don't
doubt the
think,
forum.
yeah, I was gonna say, I wish they would do the forum because it's so cool there. You can see the cage from anywhere in the arena, but I guess that's too small for them,
Oh,
I
yeah,
guess.
post-COVID, those times are done,
Yeah,
unless
so.
it's short notice.
Excuse me. So, okay, so you need a bigger space, but you can't do crypto. Fine, you go to Anaheim. It is what it is. I mean, you're right though. You're not dealing with mid-city downtown traffic, LA. It's more open. The streets are way bigger. You're close to Disneyland. It's fine. But Volkanovski in LA would have been cooler.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. Like I said, don't hate it. It's just logistically a different ball game than Los Angeles, I'll say it like that.
Yeah.
But look, they'll love it. Obviously we don't have more fights yet. I'm expecting something else to pop off. I think that'll be really cool. So I'm looking forward to that. So we'll go from there. Anyway, that leads us to this Saturday's UFC main event in Austin, Texas. Beneil Dariush taking on Armin Sarukian. Look, for Beneil, obviously looking to bounce back from the loss to Charles Oliveira in May. Snapped an 8-fight win streak. Knocking on the door of a title shot, had previously been booked to fight Islam Makhachev. Armin Sarukian has looked fantastic, had the war with Mateusz Gamrot, bounced back into the win column. A lot of people saying, he might be the most exciting up-and-comer at lightweight, right there with Rafael Fiziev. This makes for a very fun fight, and this makes for a very It's a very key moment at lightweight for these guys. I think for Armin, you beat a guy like Beneil, you're probably one win away from getting to call out the Dustin Poiriers and Gaethjes of the UFC, right?
Yeah.
And that obviously sets you up for a fight with a guy like Islam. For Beneil, this is key in that the door is almost open again. Islam beat Volkanovski again. That removes Volkanovski from the picture. Islam and Charles is scheduled, and then you have Justin Gaethje. After that, a win for Beneil puts him right back there, in my opinion. I don't know, we still don't know with Connor and Chandler. I don't expect them to be in the conversation until they're scheduled, which could be later today. I don't know. Who knows with those two? But the fact is, Beneil looks good against Armin. You are absolutely right back in that conversation. I would even argue, as much as I don't think they should have to do this, if we're waiting until like the summer for Islam versus Charles, you could honestly do Gaethje Beneil in the interim. Because I think for both Beneil and Gaethje to wait so many months for a high profile fight, I think it's just wild. I also saw the rumors about Beneil fighting Dustin Poirier, said he accepted like three offers and it didn't happen. I don't know. But I feel like you could do that fight, but I almost feel like Beneil beating Armin, you could logistically and logically do Beneil Gaethje and just make it happen for the title shot. If they're gonna wait this long for Islam's belt to be back up for grabs, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
that's my theory. A lot on the line. Obviously, there's the experienced vet taking on the rising star. Both well-rounded. I would argue maybe Armin a little more dynamic. Beneil just very good, kind of like Olivier against Clay Collard. Just make this gritty, just drag him down, just smother him. He's got that. He's got a versatile game himself, if not maybe as reliant on speed and explosiveness. So it makes for a very well-balanced matchup. What about you?
Yeah, I'm with you. So as far as if should Beneil win, would I want to see an interim with him and Gaethje? Yeah, for sure, because they're not getting any younger. That's my number one reason. They're not getting any younger. They're still exciting. Gaethje, we gotta squeeze the juice out of Gaethje before it's too late. So give the man, he's not gonna be happy with another interim belt, but I like that scenario. Back to this fight that's happening. Dariush has a lot to prove. He's going to be on a mission to get back in the win column. Armin's a tough guy, great striker, really explosive. He's got his fast twitch striking that I think will be trouble for Beneil at the beginning. But Dariush is that kind of fighter, patient, veteran, experienced. He'll weather the storm. I see Dariush winning this by decision. So it's not going to be a thrilling, and the entire fight will not be thrilling. The beginning of the fight's probably going to be a little bit of a nail biter. Then it's going to slow down. Dariush will slowly take over with that pressure that you're talking about smothering. Just, holding, pressing, pushing until he gets the win.
I'm with you there. I got nothing more to add. I think that exciting start. Probably gonna be down to Beniel's experience late and smothering him using that full grappling attack with his striking to set it up. So I'm with you
Yeah.
there. Oh my gosh, we will find out. I think it's a very good card. I mean, you got Kelvin Gastelum there, Sean Brady. Obviously, we talked about it. Bobby and Jalen gonna just bang probably. So that makes for a great fight. You know, great night of action. Natalie, I'm gonna tell you something. And I want your reaction. So next
Okay.
week we obviously have Song versus Chris Gutierrez.
Yeah.
We only have two more UFC events. We have Song, and then we have 296, and that's it for the year in the United States. How do you
Wow.
feel about that?
Okay, that feels early, I guess.
Feels like it's like, wait, we're already done?
Yeah,
Really?
and then now PFL's done, and so
And
UFC's going to be
Bellator.
done, and there's no Bellator, they're done. Wow. Gonna have to catch up on the MCU or something. I don't
Oh, dude, follow my Twitter, let me tell you. It's like all I tweet about. It's like all my recommended tweets now, too.
That's
I
funny.
was like, you know what? I might as well talk about something else because my MMA tweets just don't go off anymore. No, yeah, you know what? I gotta say, for me, I'm excited because for myself, covering a lot of events, we have big stuff going on at the end of the year. So it's just like I'm just kind of geared up, you know. This is my season, so to speak. So I'm just excited to really get it moving. But yeah, I think that I'm already thinking about how do we kind of cap off the year. I mean, obviously a lot of PFL talk, a lot of Bellator, and what does this mean for the future? 'Cause you have such a game changer in PFL. But then, how can you not talk about UFC when you have a seminal 300th pay-per-view coming up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my gosh, it's all gonna come together, I think, for a very epic year in combat sports. I don't know if you follow boxing, but David Benavidez got the victory against Andrade, and now that logistically sets up Canelo versus Benavidez, which is like the last big fight you feel like is there for Canelo. It's like, dude, all of this comes together. It's just fantastic. Big boxing has big fights. Influencer boxing is still having fights.
Still fighting, yep.
MMA has two powerhouses now. It's just a good time, I think, for combat sports and how it all comes together. I'm just looking forward to it. So we'll definitely break down all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, like, comment, subscribe. We'll be back next week to break down everything. Until then, have a good one.